Okay. Here's what we need to do.
What?
We need to get me counseling. I need counseling for a whole hell of a lot more than that. Madeline, welcome to the show.
Yes. Thank you.
Welcome, Madeline.
You traveled a long way to be here.
Yeah.
From the land of
Washington State.
Otherwise known as chickens. So Madeline, we need to tell our listener. We have to tell our listener that Madeline has like a lot of experience with chickens. You won awards for your chicken rearing and chicken husbandry, as it were.
Yeah, I used to know a lot about chickens, but I've blocked it all out.
Okay, well, why? Why did you block it?
Well,
what did you block? Just kidding.
Our grandpa used to sign us up for the fair, and we would get various animals to display, and we would learn all about them, and we would show off our animals. And
I like how you say show off. Like most people say, I had to show my animals. But it's literally show. Is that where it comes from, to show off?
Yeah.
Wow, I never thought of that before.
Show.
Show animals. You're showing off your animals.
Behold, this is my bantam.
Animals for looking at.
That's right. That's right. And you had really pretty, but there were pigeons too, not just chickens.
Yeah, those ones were, we didn't show the chickens. We just bred them and let them free.
The pigeons, you mean?
The pigeons, yeah.
Oh, okay. But you did show the chickens.
Yeah, we showed the chickens.
And you won a blue ribbon for your chicken.
I won all the ribbons.
Wait. Okay.
All your ribbons belong to us.
What did you win? Like, what did you win? Like, what were the contests?
Best chicken handler.
Best chicken handler? Really? Ooh. That's
I
kind
guess.
Of impressive.
They kind
That's
of
awesome.
Judged you. Well, I didn't like it. That's why I quit. Oh. But they didn't judge you.
Why, you blocked it?
Just on your chicken. They judged you on your appearance and things like that.
Like if you had chicken shit on your feet or on your shoes, like you were downgraded?
No, or that was respected.
Oh. So how is it some... All right, this is going to get ugly. How is some hillbilly yokel in Eastern Washington going to judge anybody on appearance?
That's a good question.
Right.
Especially at like a 4-H or an FFA event.
But it was actually the state fair, wasn't it? It wasn't an FFA. Or was it?
It was a county fair.
Okay.
Or there was... Yeah, I didn't make it to the state fair.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I could have, but no one wanted to drive me.
Oh,
I was
going to
say, what the hell good is a blue ribbon if you don't?
I was going to say, well, who did? Where was it? Where would the state fair have been? Wenatchee?
The state fair?
Yeah.
I think the Capitol.
Really? It's
yeah.
in Sacramento. Sacramento.
No.
Wrong state.
Olympia. Yeah. Yeah. Really? Huh. I don't know a lot about state fairs.
So, do you want to hear my traumatic chicken story?
I really do.
Hell yes.
I'm so sorry you had a traumatic chicken story to
tell. I mean, does it end in chicken demise, or
is there
should
blood
I just
involved?
Stop talking and
it
let
does
you tell it?
End in chicken demise.
Oh no!
Damn it!
Oh no! Okay.
I don't want to bring up anything traumatic for Aunt Jennifer.
No, believe me, I'm totally fine. I've worked through all of my trauma when it comes to chickens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we would spend hours kind of prepping the chickens. And there was this one day when my grandpa got a bunch of buckets out and filled them with soapy water. And then we would just repeatedly dunk the chickens in the soapy water.
Why?
To clean
them?
We were washing them.
Oh, okay,
but it was more like torture.
Wait, repeatedly? Torture for you or the chickens?
Both.
Yes.
Oh.
And then
that's weird.
He got this... I don't know what it was exactly. It was like
How
corn husk lotion. I was like maybe... I
know. Oh, Cornhuskers lotion.
I know Cornhuskers lotion. Okay, so you were how old?
Like 9 or around that
age. So pretty little. Okay.
I was pretty little. And he got this chicken out of the bath, had me hold it as tight as I could. Oh no, my phone's vibrating.
Uh-oh.
Can you hear it?
Yeah. We'll call him back later.
Okay. Cornhuskers lotion, yeah. So anyways, I had to hold the chicken, try to keep it still, while he, for some reason, decided to rub this lotion on the chicken's comb and waddle, and the chicken's neck stretched out super far, and the feathers on his neck just like puffed out, and its neck started like spinning in circles, and then it had a heart attack and died in my arms.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wait, what? That's like, yeah. That sounds like a horror film.
Oh, it was okay, horrifying.
But why? Okay,
nothing has been explained to me. I've had to process it all by myself.
For like, oh my God. So for like the last 12 years, you've been trying to figure out. I'm trying to understand a lot.
Have you looked it up on the internet to see if this is like a thing with certain chickens?
So the chicken was like, so it puffed up and then its head spun around because it was, I don't know.
Oh, not like 360. Like its neck was like kind of like bobbing in a circle.
Oh, I see. Okay. Like that makes more sense. I was like, wait, how is that even possible? It's not.
No.
Okay. No. Wow. So what did he do?
He just said, I guess that's not what you do. And that's what life is on a farm. You got to get used to that. And he told me that a lot because there was a lot of animal deaths.
Oh.
But I remember I was sad. It was my chicken. Mm. It looked like Cher, except it had more white. It was a silver-laced Wyandotte.
Ooh, she knows her chickens. I love that about you.
Yeah, and I was sad, and I went directly inside, got my violin, and I said, this one is for you. I can't remember what I named the chicken, and I played it.
I was just going to ask that, too.
I played it.
So you played it.
Tribute to the chicken that I thought was now in heaven.
I'm sure she is in heaven, and she's looking down on you right now going, I'm finally getting my day. My story is being told. Wow. That's crazy. So corn huskers on a comb. So he was trying to what was he trying to do? Make it less wrinkly? I don't understand.
I don't know. Maybe like
so we should
like the equivalent of oiling up a bodybuilder.
You're going to the show, kid.
Lotioning
get
up
the
a
corn huskers on you.
That's just so wrong. You know, okay, so Sonny and Cher have great their combs and their wattles are like super bright and pretty and stand up, and then Easy's just kind of lays over like it's all, I don't know, unhappy.
Easy is one jacked up bird.
She's a jacked up bird. You know, her beak is broken. So we inherited these chickens from some friends of ours who moved to the East Coast, and they originally had Sonny and Cher, and when they introduced Easy to the flock, she just wasn't really accepted. So I'm getting a lot of echo. Do you guys hear me echoey or is that just me? Okay, well, we'll live with it. So anyway, when Easy was introduced, Sonny and Cher were like not having it. So they used to attack her, and apparently they broke her beak and they were pretty mean to her. And eventually they all kind of worked it out. But occasionally I'll see Cher jump on her back and just like peck at the back of her neck. And lately, her feathers on her back are like jacked up, not looking good. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's sad.
I know. And there's like nothing we can do about it. And then yet, Cher is one of my favorite birds in terms of she's super sweet. Although, you know what I've been doing lately? When you put your hand down, Sonny and Cher kind of do this weird posture where they like put their feathers back and they get down low and they let you pet them. And lately I've been putting my hand on Sonny's breast and like really petting her and talking sweetly to her. And I think she likes it.
That's sweet.
It is sweet. Yeah. And now she's like, she's more apt to follow me around just to be pet. I think they like to be pet. I don't know if that's true. They're chickens.
I don't know. Madeline, they you've really got more experience with chickens than we do. Do they like to be pet?
I think your chickens have more personality to them.
Than chickens that you've had?
Yeah.
I do think it has to do with how they're raised. So if they're treated like pets from an early age, I think they're just going to have more personality. I know. Oh my God, that little boy at Sammy's graduation. Chad, can we tell you about this little kid? So this little fat kid
no.
who, this is hysterical. So he was this adorable little chubby kid who just shows up. And by the way, we're in the middle of nowhere in Northern Idaho, right? We're on this big piece of property at this party for my other niece's graduation. And this kid like comes out of the woods and he's like hiding behind a tree. And then he got inside this like hollowed out stump and he like would poke his head up and look around. And everyone notices him and everyone thinks he must be somebody's kid. He wasn't, though. He was just some random kid from next door who came over. And so Scott, my brother, is like, hey, you want a piece of cake? And he's like, no, I can't have any more calories today. And he's like seven, maybe. I'm six or seven. And then he disappears and he comes back with a chicken. And I do mean a big chicken. And he's carrying around this chicken and she was just like totally okay with it. Put her on the table, was trying to get her to eat food. We're all just staring at him like, wow, this is the weirdest thing. It felt like we were in a David Lynch film.
A true pet chicken.
Yes.
But I don't David Lynch or like a Werner Herzog film?
Well, probably, that's probably more appropriate. Yeah, Werner Herzog always has lots of chickens and midgets. He was actually a grown-up pretending to be a seven-year-old. You guys are just staring at me.
That's because I think they prefer the term little people.
Little people? Oh, I did again!
Jesus, you just leave no stone unturned with these things.
Right? I know, I can't help myself, apparently.
To be fair, the name of the movie was called, you know, something to the effect of Even Midgets Started Small.
That's true. Madeline, that's a really good movie. You should watch it. I think you would like it.
Yeah, I wish I knew what you guys were talking about.
Yeah, you should see it tonight. You'll like it. You'll be fully disturbed and you'll love it. It's one of those art films.
Yeah.
All right. So do you have any other chicken stories or wisdom that you can pass on to us?
Well, your chicken kind of picking on the other chicken kind of reminded me of some things that our animals would do, but the chickens would never pick on each other.
Oh.
We had a rabbit that thought it was a chicken and it would follow the chickens around and it would like mount the chickens.
What?
And then it would beat up some of the chickens.
Ugh, that's crazy.
We don't know what was wrong with that rabbit.
That rabbit. So did you have a lot of rabbits?
Nope, just one big fat rabbit.
Oh my gosh, I love rabbits. They make really good pets.
Yeah.
You know what else makes really good pets? Skunks. They're a little stinky, that's true. But they make amazing pets. They think they're dogs combined with cats.
Maybe dogs think they're skunks.
Maybe that's
and we just tolerate dogs.
Maybe
more so than skunks,
right?
Wow.
Well, so Pepe Le Pew, as it were, mom found him in the garden, actually. So one day she went out, I don't know, she was picking lettuce, and we heard her scream, like this blood curdling scream, and Dad went running out there to see what was going on. And there was a skunk. Actually, there was a bunch of skunks. So mom had found like five baby skunks and Dad grabbed one, which he was apt to do. He was always bringing in baby something or others. So we brought in the skunk and we're like, he's like, look, girls. And it's the cutest little skunk. It fit in the palm of his hands. And I got to tell you, those things are adorable. And we raised it to an adult. We had it for years. And then finally, I think it wandered off and it was just too friendly, maybe. Got eaten by a coyote, didn't know how to survive in the wild. Mm. Pepe Le Pew. But he used to follow us around, and he would get up on his front legs, and he would throw his hind legs up in the air and, like, swoop his tail over. And, like, it was like a playful act. And he'd love it if you'd roll him over on his belly and play with his, or on his back, rather, and play with his belly. He was really cute.
That sounds like a Disney cartoon.
I know, right? And it was real. It kind of was like that. We did name him Pepe Le Pew. That might be a copyright infringement. We're going to get sued.
Nah, not at all.
Yeah, Pepe was good. So my Uncle Paul came to visit us. Like, he hasn't seen my dad in years, and he shows up in this big motorhome with his three kids and his wife, and they'd been there like an hour. And they were in the house, and Pepe was walking along the top of a drum, following the kitty cat who was walking along the base of the drum. And... No, it's opposite. Pepe was on the bottom. The cat was on the top. And the cat pounced on top of Pepe to play, and it startled him, and he squirted a little bit. It was really stinky.
Yeah, it doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't. And so Uncle Paul left and never came back. We didn't see him again. Ever. He was pissed off that my dad would have a pet skunk. But that was, my dad had a pet bear. We had pet squirrels, pet skunks, pretty much everything. If he could get his hands on it, he would. We never had a raccoon, though. They would not make good pets.
Or snakes, I'm guessing.
No, we did have snakes, but we always sliced them and dissected them. Mm. Not my dad, my sisters and I. We were weird little girls.
Right. Yeah.
They were fascinating. But,
think of the circumstances and, you know, the people who raised you.
Well, that told us that if you cut a snake's heart out, it will continue to beat for 3 hours after it's removed from its body. So we decided we needed to test that theory. And you know what? It's true.
Well, damn it all, the old man isn't right.
Yeah, he was absolutely right. Like, who knew? So, Madeline, you didn't grow up on a farm, though. Why'd you have so many farm animals?
It was like a mini farm.
Hmm.
It was kind of like Papa was collecting his own little ark.
But was he building one? That's the question.
No.
Because that's a whole different level of lunacy right there.
Yes, it right. is.
And Papa's anything but lunacy.
But he did have a boat. Actually, he did buy a boat.
He bought a boat. Uh-oh. Maybe he was going to have an ark.
What kind of boat?
It was a small boat.
Like a bass boat, I could see
yeah,
up there.
Yeah, it was a bass boat.
Okay.
he was really just going to go fishing.
Yeah, he's like, I just want to get out of the house and be away from people.
So when you guys were little, I thought he was like kind of crazy and really mean to animals. Because Trenton told me this story that whenever the kittens were born at your house, Papa would take them and put a rubber band around their tails until the tails would fall off. And that none of your cats had tails. And I was like, oh my God, that's awful. I was absolutely horrified. And then we got Mishka, and now I know that she's a Manx.
Well,
you all had Manxes, and he was just totally fibbing. He was only 5 or something.
It's probably right around the time that he learned that's how, like, sheep are born with long tails.
Right.
And he's like, oh, all of our cats have short tails. We must
do the same thing to them.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Sheep are born with tails?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not like... like long,
not like a horse tail or a dog tail,
right? But I think it's
so
like
they cut them off.
They put rubber bands. On them.
Wait, what? They actually do that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. Why? Why are humans so bad?
It's for the wool, maybe.
Ugh.
Like when they're shearing it, maybe, I don't know.
Or maybe you don't get all the
yeah. Doesn't stick as much.
Fucked up. I'm just gonna join PETA tomorrow.
That's it.
Yeah, PETA, the group of people that promote killing shelters because they don't think that humans should own animals at all. Cats, dogs, lizards, snakes, whatever.
What?
Who are these people?
PETA.
Okay, go on.
They apparently support shelters that euthanize pets.
So they think it's better to kill the pets
than have the pet live under the authoritarian thumb of an owner.
Do you know this to be a fact? We're going to have to fact check this one.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, my God. So Davita had an idea. So she was on 2 episodes ago. And her idea is that after every episode, we fact check all the ridiculousness that we talk about. Because we just, right. you know, spew nonsense for the most part. Occasionally, we know what we're talking about, but it's rare.
I was going to say, it's probably pretty rare.
If not.
Because...
So we should fact check our podcast.
Well, the thing about this, all the conversations we've ever had here have been well outside of our realm of expertise.
any area that we know anything about, we just like, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to pretend like I do.
Because admittedly, you know, we could talk about, you know, book production.
But that would
and
be
website
really
production, but
boring.
It'd be even more boring than what we're doing.
Yeah, we're already pretty
at
boring.
Present.
That's true. But we only have the 1 listener.
True.
Or the 7.
So, no, just 1.
Oh,
that's our thing.
We have our listener.
1 listener.
Oh, ooh, I shouldn't have said that. Click.
No, we did. We had 7 people listen today. But I'm still going to go with 1 listener. Because it's like that one person likes it so much, they listened 7 times.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what it is. It's hard for me to believe that anyone would listen to this. It's like, really? We're so...
Thank you, though, for listening.
But thank you. Yeah, we really appreciate you. I don't know why exactly. Yeah, we're not. Yeah, we may not even do this again. This could be it. This could be the last time.
What?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what else we're gonna say. Oh, what you got, Chad?
I am on the PETA website currently.
Okay.
And I am on the page that says the deadly consequences of no-kill policies. Animals are not ours to experiment on, to eat, to wear, use for entertainment, or abuse in any other way. Consider this parable about no-kill policies. You're walking next to a river, and you see a kitten floating past. You jump in and save the kitten. As one would.
I would hope.
Right? Then another one floats by, so you save that one too. Then another, and another, and another float by. And soon you realize you can't save them all. So you run upstream to see who's throwing kittens in the water. And you stop that person.
Huh.
Exactly. That's from the PETA website, right?
And you stop that person.
I don't know what the fuck, what kind of parable that is.
If only it was that easy.
Right?
Right?
Okay. Except now you walk upstream and you find that there are 10,000 people. You know, and they all have kittens, and only the, you know, every so one of them is throwing a kitten in the river.
What I want to know is, why would anyone throw a kitten in the water?
It's a parable.
So they're saying, I don't really don't understand.
I don't know. They don't think.
I mean, of course, it makes sense. It's better to get to the root cause.
Yeah, and then they go on to say the deadly consequences of no-kill policies. It's appalling to contemplate, but when shelters give in to the pressure of no-kill before they have overcome the breeding and selling of animals in their communities, and before establishing sufficient spaying and neutering services, the results are often far worse for animals than a peaceful death through euthanasia.
Okay.
And then they go on to outline.
I can kind of see that, though. So they're like, okay, so you've got a room with 50 cats in it. That's not a good life. That's a terrible, terrible life. So it'd be better than to let them all die peacefully than to keep them prisoners in this awful environment. Yeah?
That's kind of
what I gathered from that.
I guess, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, if you...
So let them free, or throw them in the water, and someone will save them.
Well, no, that's what they're trying to avoid, that parable.
That's what they're trying to avoid. All right, fine. Let's move on.
I don't know. I don't think that parable really succinctly stated what they feel.
I don't think so either.
I think it's pretty useless as far as that goes.
I think they need a better board of directors. That's what I think. Hey.
Well, that would be interesting, right? So. Okay. Well,
all right, no. Go on.
Here we go. Wind him up and watch him go. Okay. So, you remember that whole story about how the NRA was taken over by the far right?
Yes.
About those guys who decided that, okay, you know, so at the time, the NRA
actually a really good story.
Was like
99 PI did that one, right?
Did they do that? I don't think so. I don't know how that's designed. I think it was like
Radiolab.
Maybe it was Radiolab. But we talk a lot about other podcasts on this.
We
podcast.
We do, because podcasts are awesome. Just not this one. So go on.
Shit.
So, I love podcasts.
So the whole thing was like the NRA was all about sporting, right? And the sport of hunting and the sport of this, that, and the other thing. And then a couple people decided that no, that's bullshit. We want to push the whole Second Amendment rights thing,
right?
And really hammer that home. And they basically took over the board of directors,
literally
at the annual meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Like they took over the NRA, and then all of a sudden, like flipped a switch, and now they're.
But how they did it was the best part. It was Radiolab. So they had these guys dressed in, I think they were orange or red shirts, and they have these signs, and they place them strategically throughout the, so the voting members, they were getting ready to vote for their board of directors, and they had basically like hecklers out in the crowd. So
right.
When the board of directors would give their speeches, they'd have these guys in these red shirts. And I forget what the shirt said. You know, we'll have to find the podcast and put it in on the website, because it's definitely worth listening to. But anyway, So at the end of it, when they voted, these guys were voted off. And then these new people that no one had ever heard of, who were being applauded by the guys in the red shirts, were voted in. And they just completely took it over. Yeah.
Wow.
It was like an inside takeover.
Yeah, it happened literally overnight.
Literally overnight. But the reason that they did that is because they were moving their headquarters. And it was going to be more about, well, it started out as a Boy Scout thing, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that I don't remember. We got to listen to the podcast again.
We have to listen to the podcast again.
Take notes.
It was fascinating. Anyway, yeah, it was an extreme takeover.
So anyway,
have to do with anything?
Because the whole point is that how interesting would that be if someone did that, you know, a group of people did that to PETA?
We should do that. PETA, we're coming for you.
Oh, Jesus. No, we're not.
No, we're not.
We're not, PETA. We really don't care about you.
We actually inconsequential. Don't know anything about you. Yeah, totally. We don't know anything.
Like, literally. People on the left and the right mock you.
We would never throw a kitten in water, just for the record.
Seriously, that's an awful, terrible thing to do.
So a friend of ours found a cat who was in a storm drain.
So apparently somebody throws kittens in water.
This was out in the desert, out in Yuma, in Arizona.
Yeah, no water there.
And there's no water. And I think this cat was looking for water. And so it jumped down into the drain storm and couldn't get out. So our friends heard this cat meowing. And found this kitty cat, beautiful cat. He was down in this, and he had to like get down. You know, you see those videos of the guy like they're hanging onto his feet, and he's like leaning up to his thighs
in the storm drain.
Yeah, and he's like trying to get out whatever it is and rescue it. But so he and this other guy that was with him rescued the cat, took him home, sweetest cat. Oh my gosh, so cute. So a friend of ours now has him, and his name is Hobie. And this cat is rambunctious.
Hobie cat. Get it?
Hobie cat. Really cool cat. But yeah, rescued out of a storm drain.
Yep.
You know, rescue animals are so grateful. It's interesting when you have a rescue animal because they truly, I think, are just so happy to... They remember what it was like to be on the outside with no food.
On the outside looking in.
Yes.
Because that's what I do. I sing all.
Yeah, our life is a musical. I like it, though.
Which is interesting because you have purebreds.
You do have a purebred.
You're all about the purebred.
Well, I didn't really think much about it, but my boyfriend was very sure that he wanted to get an AKC pup.
What does AKC mean?
American Kennels. I don't know.
We'll have to look that one up.
It's the Breeders Association kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
The American Kennel Club. Huh. I wonder if they have that for chickens. Because chickens seem to be mutts in general. Like, I don't think there's like a purebred chicken anymore, is that?
I think they... Oh,
like
what do
bantams,
they call it?
Maybe.
They call them heritage breeds.
Oh.
So they have them for chickens and turkeys and and birds in general, I don't know if there's like any sort, like the AKC has their paperwork. I don't know if there's anything like that. But there are certain like heritage breeds that go back to, you know, they can trace the breed back to. The thing is how far are you going to trace it back, right?
Exactly.
The dawn of domestication of chickens? Probably not.
Sounds fancy, though. A heritage breed.
Right?
It makes me think of tomatoes.
Yeah, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not really.
Heirloom.
I think, yeah, I don't
Heirloom
know, maybe.
Tomatoes. Well, it's the same thing. It's like a pure breed.
But I wonder, is it the same thing, or is it with the tomatoes, is it... is it actual genetic engineering to get to that thing, and then that... That end tomato is the thing that is the pinnacle of what it is, and you go from that and you keep trying to repeat that? Or is it that it's just random propagation?
Boring.
All right, fine.
I don't know.
Not for the botanists among us.
That's true. I should have been a botanist.
Of which
or
none of us are, but whatever.
Right, but we know some on
We do. And they would be endlessly fascinated.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
By propagation of.
Interview that one guy that he spent his entire life studying one plant. What's his name again?
Oh, geez.
He's Swedish.
The Swiss. No, he's from Switzerland.
Oh, he's Swiss.
He's a Swiss.
So yeah, he's spent his entire life studying one plant.
Like did he get anything done? Did he accomplish anything with the plant?
That's potentially. I mean, he seems to think that he's onto something. Like it's a particular plant that, so it's Dudlea, so it's like it's a succulent that lives in Baja. And it's
boring. Keep going. I'm just heckling you. I'm very interested.
No, you're not.
Go on.
Anyway.
It's a succulent. Yeah.
It's a succulent. It's a beautiful succulent. It has a beautiful flower. But I think he's decided that this particular succulent in this particular location with this particular flower is different than the nearest relative and thereby a new species.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting.
So that's his thing.
Okay. Huh. How do you prove something like that?
I don't know. I'm not a botanist.
Me neither. We should become botanists so we can know.
Good Lord, no. We should just talk to them.
Tell us more about
my biology class.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you know that something's not the same species as if they can't.
Right. Right.
I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
That's because we're talking about botany and we don't know anything about it. But you're talking about genetic crossbreeding or cross-pollination or... So here's something to think about is the banana. The banana.
Boring.
Really?
What about the banana? No, I love the story about the banana,
actually. It's dying. The banana is dying. Oh, I wish I could remember the names of the two types of bananas.
Wait, the banana or the genetically modified banana that we buy?
There is only one banana that we buy.
There's only one kind of banana that we get. And it's being attacked by a virus. And this happened back in the 50s, I think. And so they had to modify it and create a new banana that was resistant to this particular virus or bacteria that was killing all the bananas. And now that same bacteria is killing off the existing banana. And if it kills them, we're bananaless. Can you imagine a world without banana splits?
Because they're not propagated. Yes. They're clones. Every single banana that we've ever eaten is a clone of
other
bananas.
Right.
Wow.
So they have no genetic diversity. They're all the same. So if one dies from this fungus or whatever the hell it is, they all are susceptible to it.
Right. Bananas. I think they'll figure something out. I don't think we're going to have a banana-less world. I just don't.
No, we will. I mean, that banana will be gone. Was it called the Big Mike? Something like that?
I think that's the existing.
Or is that the old one?
That's the banana we have now. No, that's the old one. You're right. That's the old one.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either, but we'll put it on the podcast.
I'm looking it up.
On the website, rather. This is the podcast. What are you talking about? This is crazy. So, Madeline. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other chicken stories you want to tell us?
Oh, I don't think any other chicken stories.
Oh, but do you have good farm stories? I want to hear them.
I might. Well, I didn't tell you why I decided to really quit the chickens. Mm. Or quit feeding and showing the chickens. Because
why
I realized...
Madeline quit the chickens?
What, the death of your prized chicken wasn't enough?
That wasn't good enough. God. Oh. I realized that I you was stuck the with chicken.
It. What?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, go
shit,
on.
Shit, that's heavy.
Yeah. Well,
so you're
here
like 9
I
years
thought,
old and you realize that you were the chicken?
Yeah. Here I thought that I was training this animal and showing this animal off, and then I realized that Papa was just taking me, dressing me up, teaching me what to do, and showing me off.
You were the chicken.
I was the chicken all along.
Wow.
Wow, that's a Matrix shit
right
there.
I was like, wow, I don't want to do this anymore.
That's actually pretty deep.
Yes, kind of sad.
And you were 9.
9, 10.
So by the time you were 10. So what did you say? Like, I just don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Do you think I am not the chicken.
I refuse to be the chicken. Huh.
Because I'm not a chicken.
Mm-mm. You're not a chicken.
Well, I said I'd rather start baking. And so I started entering things like breadsticks into the fair instead.
I remember when you did that.
How did your breadsticks do in the fair?
They won. Your breadsticks won.
That was my ticket to the state fair, but yeah. Didn't go home.
You didn't go because no one wanted to drive you.
What the fuck?
And then, it is a long-ass drive, though.
I got into cakes, and I loved making cakes. And I've been making cakes my whole life. Mm-hmm. And now my boyfriend doesn't like cake. He likes pie. So I wasted all those years learning how to make cake when I should have been learning how to make pie.
Well, I can help you because I make really good pie. I'm definitely a pie maker. I'm not very good at cake. Well, thumbs the brakes, huh, baby? I remember you wanted to make cupcakes. You wanted to make cupcakes? Could you hear me? Can you hear me now? Hello?
I can hear you well now.
Oh, good. I remember you wanted to have like a cupcake business.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were really good at it. I bet you're still good at it. Do you remember that one time that you made me those cupcakes for my birthday and it had like that rum frosting? Jesus, yeah. Those were good.
Oh, wait. It was caramel. It bourbon? Was it caramel?
I thought it was a bourbon caramel cream cheese frosting.
Yes.
That was delicious. We should make more. But Uncle the cupcakes Chuck, were good too.
You actually helped me the whole time, but I got all the credits.
No, you guys, it was equal effort. I know it was. But it was pretty cool. Yeah. So have you made any pies?
Not one.
Not one. Well, maybe we should make a pie before you go.
Yeah, it's funny. My boyfriend's 21st birthday, I wanted to make him a pie, but then I decided to make him a pie-flavored cake because I really don't know how to make a pie.
And how the hell do you make a pie-flavored cake?
Pecan pie ice cream cake.
Yum.
Yeah.
Did he like it?
He loved it, though.
That sounds amazing. I wish I had that now. But yeah. We don't. Okay, so what do you think his favorite pie is?
Pecan.
I actually have never made a pecan pie.
It's basically goo pie.
Yeah, right? They're really easy. You just need to know how to make the crust.
Right.
That's easy, too. I mean, relatively. Hell, you can just buy that shit.
Yeah, you don't even have to do a lattice work on the top of a pecan pie.
That's true. Well, that's good.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
It's just all sugar. Sugar. Well, I don't know. Today was a 3-egg day.
Oh, Jesus. Tragedy.
But we only went home with 2 eggs. We have a real problem. I don't know what's going on. But Sonny's shell is so weak. It broke. And it was just a big old mess.
It just needs more calcium.
But, like, she won't eat it. So we're giving her eggshells, oyster shells, and she just picks through and will not eat it. And the other two have really strong shells. So is something wrong with her? Do we need to get a chicken doctor, do you think?
I don't know if that exists.
Really?
Maybe they're just called a veterinarian. What she said. In stereo, where available.
Stop that. Quit saying what I'm saying. I don't know, but I think we need to figure it out. When I look it up on the internet, it's useless. They just say the things I already know. We don't know what we're doing. Sassy little lady. She needs more calcium. And then I thought, well, maybe we can just straight up give her calcium. Maybe we can put calcium drops in the water. Is that a thing?
I don't know. We could just crush up a bunch of Tums, a bunch of cherry-flavored Tums.
God, that's hysterical.
Get her to eat some chalk.
Right. Calcium carbonate.
I wonder if it's got to be a carbonate or bicarbonate.
I wonder, too. I have no idea. Difference. Very subtle.
What about a tricarbonate?
That's not a thing, Madeline. Try and get the chicken to eat that.
Well, I'm thinking good night. Maybe good night is in order. Because Madeline and I are almost out of drink.
Oh, you and your fancy drinks.
Mm-hmm. We're being all fancy. Fancy pants.
You're thinking of winding this down, huh?
winding down.
Because it hasn't done it on its own.
You're getting very sleepy.
Thank you for listening to Married with Chickens.
Thank you.
I've been your host, Chad. And?
And I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Madeline.
Thanks, Madeline. Thanks for being here. I guess we'll...
sign off until next week.
Yeah.
If I don't see you, good evening, good afternoon, and good night.
Nice.
Hey, that's been taken, hasn't it?
Probably many times.
But it's worth saying again.
It's fun.
It is fun. That's the best part. Good morning, good afternoon, good night.
And go to hell!
And go to hell!